Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, received nearly 2.1 million applications for disaster assistance as of September 30th, 2005. 2.1 million applications, people. You know how many that is? We're getting wrapped up into millions and billions on a daily basis, and we really don't pay attention to how much money that actually is. And it's surpassing the record 1.9 million total applications received throughout all of 2004. Mostly as a result of last year's hurricane season. Now, this is the point that I keep trying to stress. We know weather manipulation is existing. We know it's existed from the past. We know environmental modification exists. William Cohen wouldn't have made that statement as simple as this. William Cohen wouldn't have made that statement back in 1997 regarding environmental modification. We've got to expose this in spades to our representatives, local, state, and federal. We're all involved in this. The federal money goes all the way down to the state and local level. So, in my opinion, this is everyone's responsibility to expose environmental modification, and let's see where it's being used, if it's being used. And there's the point. Thousands upon thousands of people dislodged from their homes. Fires going on in Riverside County right now, yesterday. 2,000 National Guard troops may be needed to secure the city through March as the local police department struggles to regain its footing. Acting Police Superintendent Warren Riley said Thursday. Riley, who was named to lead the department last month after the abrupt retirement of Superintendent Eddie Compass, said in an interview with USA Today that he hopes to have the department fully functioning by next month. As I see this article, troops may stay in New Orleans, from USA Today. Mayor Ray Nagin told a gathering of local businesses and government leaders that it is likely to take a decade and $10 billion a year in federal aid to rebuild the city and restore services to support its port and tourism industry. In a rousing address, Nagin warned that business owners should be prepared to pay a premium to secure workers in a new labor market where fast food outlets are offering thousands of dollars in signing bonuses to employees who will work in the hurricane zone. Nagin expressed concern that local workers are being shut out of jobs by laborers from Mexico. Quote, how do I ensure that New Orleans is not overrun by Mexican workers, end quote, he said. And this guy's pretty concerned. He's pretty alert, as I can see it, throughout his actions during Hurricane Katrina. Nagin. I think he's a pretty alert fellow. Now, the Oklahoma City bombing, the recent one, I received a report that there are 40 pounds of fertilizer, and I'm not sure whether it was in his apartment or not, but he was linked to 40 pounds of fertilizer, this individual, and I've forgotten his name. I haven't been up on this because whenever these things happen, I sit back and wait and see how it unfolds. However, they've been blaming hydrogen peroxide on this bomb. The one of the ingredients in the bomb was hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide is an outstanding disinfectant, listeners. Very inexpensive up until now, and it's an outstanding disinfectant. It's an outstanding mouthwash, the peroxide you buy that has 3% in it and the rest water. So here we are, an attack on fertilizer in 1995, and now we have an attack on a major disinfectant, hydrogen peroxide. And what's going to happen with that? It's going to skyrocket. It's going to be much more expensive. It'll become rare. We have Codex Alimentarius in place. We don't know where that's going to lead us to the vitamins and minerals. And yet there's aerial spraying that's been going on for so long. So maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, listeners. You should be so lucky, those that don't believe me. After the 20th century, with the setups we've lived, And certainly I go back to the wars. I go back to Vietnam, a perfect example. It's publicized on the military channel and the history channel. that we could not win the war. In 1969, it was determined we could not win the war. The only way you win a war is you cut off the supply line to the enemy. The supply line was never cut off to North Vietnam. The Soviet Union and Communist China continued to supply North Vietnam with their best weaponry to shoot down our aircraft. Now, once again, why were we there? To stop the spread of communism, but never to allow the eradication of communism. We had a 38th parallel in Vietnam, just like we had a 38th parallel in Korea. We could only go so far. And then the bombing intensified over certain situations to get them to the peace table, and the Paris peace talks with Henry Kissinger was a sham. But the point is, here we are in today's day. We have the coalition forces in the Middle East under the guise of the UN system. It's just the way it is, listeners. We have the Secretary of the Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF in America. Every country has an IMF governor of the UN system. And we're losing soldiers. We're losing America's best that have been indoctrinated into the military. So when they get out, if they get out, they can receive a college education, which is way too expensive for anyone to afford unless they have a special job or a very special education that they received to go on to college with a scholarship. A gifted person. Many of us aren't gifted because they don't train you to be gifted. They don't want you to be gifted. They don't teach phonics in school so you can learn to read properly today. So all these situations are at our feet, and they're maneuvering themselves on a daily basis. We have Homeland Security. We have FEMA doing their thing. We have the engineering as a result of, in my opinion, a created crisis. It was too convenient to have these two hurricanes come, and now what do we have? High price of gasoline, not going to go down. It will continue to rise. So we have my little friend in the cabin today, who's off the grid more than likely, and he's understanding the big picture in place, has been for years. William, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Chris, and thanks for asking me to come back and join you on air today.
Well, we need to connect dots, and you're doing your research. You've been doing your research for many years, haven't you?
Well, many, many years indeed, and it's like the log cabin president's coming out talking. You know, from time to time, we have to go back to our roots. And this broadcast so far, the palette that you've thrown out on the table is delightful things to look at. If we look at the first item that you mentioned, talking about inventory lists and inventory prices and whatnot, remember, folks, that we're talking about $240 billion worth of receipts here or more. We don't know what the bottom line is going to be. But if you think that anybody in this country is going to follow a bread list like that, just remember what happened when Saddam Hussein tried to present his list of all of the expenses that the United States and the military equipment that we provided them. They just kind of sealed up the book and set it aside. So I don't know who's going to take solace, Chris, in having them inventory how many $10,000 hammers they've provided to the people down there. But remember that I think it was Davy Crockett that was reprimanded by one of his constituents for trying to provide a little bit of relief to a veteran's wife. Look what we're doing now.
Well, that's a good statement to make, as, you know, we aren't very good students of history, many of us, because everyone I talk to, when they graduated around the time I graduated in the late 60s, social studies is what they called it, and social studies was history, and American history. They took us to the Civil War and stopped.
Yeah.
It never went after that. It never went further than that.
Yeah, and the material that really was presented, as I recall, was so dry and so out of touch and so boring in the way that it was presented that basically it was an invitation for everyone to look out the windows. But history is far more interesting than that. And what I'm looking at right now with Katrina and down in Texas, that disaster, if we go back in history and remember the Credit Mobilier in France and the Credit Mobilier in the United States, where we basically started a whole new program, and that is a public-private partnership between a plan for the nation, a national expansion in the railroads and in postal roads and other things, being underwritten by our tax dollars. It was a whole new boondoggle, and it's been a scam since the beginning, and we need to pay attention and wake up.
Well, that's why you're here today, to connect dots that we all need to understand. William, in his log cabin, listeners, prepared to educate you today. Get your thinking caps on and take notes, listeners. Stay with us. United States Coast Guard, dated September 29th. This is amazing. The crew of the Coast Guard cutter Gallatin, which is moored in downtown New Orleans, is headed to help repair area schools in two nearby parishes. More than 70 Coast Guardsmen from the Gallatin, based in Charleston, South Carolina, will be restoring classrooms at schools in nearby parishes affected by Hurricane Katrina and Rita. That would seem to be a private job, not a public or not a federal job to do that with the military or the Coast Guard as being militarized under the maritime laws, William. This is the amazing thing, is the Homeland Security is getting involved in the rebuilding of this area. And I'm certain they're going to build sustainable communities, and smart growth is going to be involved in this, because that is the dictate from the federal government today.
Well, as you're very well aware, Chris, and that is a good point, no longer are Americans willing to work or able to work. We're now so stupid that we can't even vote. We have to have a computer to help us to count our votes and tally them. But when you move in the military like that, you're displacing the economic system that is designed in this country to respond to that.
Yes.
And bringing in government contracts, of course, will hide all of the statistics under a cloud of paperwork that would be completely transparent in an open, honest economic system. But who are the people that are really going to gain out of this in the long run? And who are the people that perhaps might be driving this corporate greed and this pork that's coming out of Washington? And I would suggest that we look first to the insurance lobbies. They're absolutely powerful. And the bailout that we gave to Lloyd's of London on the World Trade Center buildings, and now we're seeing, you know, State Farm and Allstate and AIG and the other companies that have insurance losses that are going to be staggering down south. Well, of course, they're going to be over there pumping elbows and twisting arms with Roy Blunt, the new majority whip, too, or the new majority leader. I guess he's moved up. He's so successful whipping the Congress into pork, comtrails and whatnot. I was sitting out with a friend of mine two summers ago, and there was just an absolute pattern, you know, that was we were marveling as we were sitting out having a cup of coffee, looking at it in the summer day, clear day, other than what was going on above us in the Missouri skies here. This is kind of like flyover country. And so we're also in a directly south of one of the large military installations, and there are airports north and south, both in Arkansas and north of me. So there's plenty of air traffic. I see airplanes all day. But we're sitting out, and there, all of a sudden, there starts coming down out of the sky this kind of like gosmer threads. And so my buddy says, it looks like the spiders are migrating. And I said, well, my God, if these are spiders, then we should be able to find some. So we just started trying to track some of these filmy things that were coming down. Finally, Chris, it looked like a Christmas demonstration where we were trying to put tinsel on the trees. I said, my goodness, I said, let's get out of this, go inside. I was tired of it. This stuff was draping all over. That's the only time I've ever seen what the people talk about, you know, these gossamer thread things, but it was just intense. Now, when we think about these various and sundry phenomena that we see around us, there are some things that we were not told in school that our forefathers were educated in, and one of those subjects beyond philosophy is logic. And trails, sure. Comtrails and weather modification or the rewilding project or this or that, we can go back and see, is it compatible with previously well-established hypotheses? If it's not, it's likely to be fallacious, and we can just let it go.
I see no mention of these troops at all, where they are, what they're doing. And yet I also see, dated October 4th, the Senate gives nod to recruiting older citizens, where legislation allowing military recruits to enter service up to age 42 and to create a new $1,000 finder's fee for service members who tip off recruiters to good prospects has received tentative approval in the Senate. So here we see the recruiting age being raised considerably, and this is a where are they going to go into the military once they're through their basic training? They're going to be shipped off overseas.
Well, if I recall back.